Well, welcome again to Freedom House Church. Here for the first time, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church. We're one church in multiple locations. Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, give God a hand clap. What's up, Irvine? So good. Everybody join us online. It's so great to see you. And I'm thrilled today to, we're going to wrap up the series we've been on, talking about kingdom expansion, looking at Isaiah 54, 1 through 4. And today, I'm going to tell you the title up front. Because as I was praying what to minister on to this weekend, I really felt I wanted to have us make some prophetic declarations. Now, prophetic declarations is declaring something before it comes. And we're going to make those today for the year. Because some of you are used to hearing pathetic declarations. Come on, somebody. Pathetic. Where it's like, we ain't going to do pathetic. We're going to do prophetic. Come on now. So I'm going to tell you today. I'm going to give you the title of the message right now. Everybody watching online is this. Four prophetic declarations for 2024. I'm going to give you four prophetic declarations. And I'm going to give you a bonus one too. And we're going to jump in. So grab your Bibles as you remain standing. And we are going to read Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to read verse number 2. Then we're going to jump to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. So Isaiah 54, verse 2, then you're going to thumb and go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. I'm going to really marry these scriptures in the sense of intertwining them into today's teaching. I'm going to jump right in here, Isaiah 54. And you're going to want today's notes because you're going to declare these together. We're all going to declare them together as we come to the conclusion of our fast. Come on now. The Bible reads Isaiah 54, 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your tent curtains. Someone say, stretch me, Lord. And like this next sentence says, and do not hold back. Tell your neighbor, say, don't hold back this year. Say, don't hold back. Do not hold back. It says here, it says, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. In other words, what we drive into the ground, those stakes that hold up, not a steak like you eat. Some of you have been fasting meat and you're like, a steak? No, the steak, okay? The stake that goes into the ground. All right, jump to Romans 4:17, and I want to partner this scripture with the text and the teaching this morning. New King James Version says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead. Now that right there, let me just say, we serve a God who gives life to dead things. He'll give life to whatever's dead in your life, whatever's dead in your heart, whatever might you feel has been buried, God can bring it to life. Now watch this last sentence, because here is the statement. He says, gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We serve a God who calls things that are not as though they are. That is being prophetic. And today I want to teach our church how to make prophetic declarations, the things that are not as though they are. And we're going to speak some things this year that we're going to declare into the atmosphere, because the problem is we've been making pathetic declarations, but today we're going to make prophetic declarations. Come on, somebody. And so I want to share those with you. Then I got a bonus one. I put a fifth one because y'all are overachievers. That's why. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning because we know, God, that you have so much to say to us about our lives. Father, we surrender to you because the reality is we can't do it on our own. We need you, Lord. So, Father, we've come this morning to hear from you. We did not come to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. So build us up. God, challenge us. Speak to us. Stretch us. And make us into the men, and for those ladies, the women, that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, make a prophetic declaration this year. Tell them that. And then follow up with this statement, no more pathetic declarations. Tell them that. No more pathetic. Because we've been living by too many of those, you know what I'm saying? And we got to watch our words. You have to watch your words. Words are powerful. In fact, at the Silva home, for our home, negative words are like curse words in our house. Like, if our kids speak negative, or we'll even check each other, I'll tell my wife, like, we don't speak negative. No negativity here. Like, I am really, like, OCD about that. I'm like, I will not say a negative word, because negative words are powerful. And we have to watch our words. Tell your neighbor, watch your words. And I think sometimes we are too loose with negative declarations that today I'm going to call pathetic declarations. I'll never do nothing great. Well, you're going to have what you said, because words are powerful. Your words are so powerful that words can create an emotion. Did you know that? Like, words can create an emotion. You say, well, prove it. Simple. When your spouse says something to you, you get all mad. That's the one. You're like, I was all happy, then you said that, now I'm mad. Because words, what do? They create an... So you got to watch your words. Because they create emotions. Thoughts create emotions. You can have one thought. Some of you might have thought attacks, and then you get depressed. And what are thoughts? Thoughts are simply words in your mind. And so sometimes words run rampant in here, and you can think your way into defeat. You can think your way into anxiety. You can think your way into worry. And some of you have arguments in your mind. We're praying for you. You're not crazy. So just know, you're not crazy, okay? But you have arguments. And that's what the Bible says. We cast down every high thing and every argument, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so these thoughts, and I could prove it to you, right? If you're like, you have a thought of your ex. You're like, why'd you bring him up, Pastor? I was enjoying the service. All the single people, right? And there you go. Now you got me all mad. What? See, again, thoughts, what do? Even affect our emotions. What I'm trying to prove to you this morning is you have to watch your words, because they're like pills. They carry things. What are you eating? What did you take this morning? And if we're not careful, we actually will put our family in a diet of negativity. That's why you can never speak negative to your children. If you speak negative to your children, you're actually feeding them a diet of pathetic declarations. And maybe you were raised in that. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel like somebody was raised in a home where pathetic declarations were made about you. Well, Father, I reverse that in Jesus' name. I prophetically declare you will not live by the low expectations of other people, but you will live to the fullness of God's word. If you receive it, say amen. 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 I felt that right now. When I was growing up, I had a principal. I was a troubled kid. Well, no, actually, no. I was a well-behaved one. My brothers were out of control. Just joking. But I had a principal that literally looked at me in seventh grade, and he says, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be a loser when you grow up. That's what he told me. He says, people like you don't succeed. That's what he told me. And he got in my face this close, and he said, go ahead, hit me. I know you want to hit me, so I could send you to juvenile hall. My little fist, I was like, I wanted to hit him so bad, so I socked him, just kidding. I wanted to. In my mind, I lit him up. I lit him up in my mind. Yeah. I'm going to say it was the Lord. A little kid, I remember just tears coming down my eyes. I walked out of that office, but the problem is the damage was already done. People like me don't succeed. Well, the devil is a liar. Oh, I don't know who this is for today. I don't know who I'm talking to. I was raised in Section 8 housing, introduced to things I never should have been introduced to, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to live according to someone else's pathetic declaration. I'm going to live according to God's prophetic declaration. Who am I talking to this morning? Shout amen. Now watch me, not just joking, I'm just like, amen. The point is, these words, these are pathetic declarations. And I just felt coming into this weekend, we've been fasting, coming to the end of our fast. Some of y'all are going to have a tres leches cake, apple pie. Y'all like, can you stop preaching, because I'm supposed to eat after the service. Okay. This is going to be a 4-hour service today. No, I'm just joking, okay. You know, we're going to eat and, you know. But the point is, I want to leave you with some prophetic declarations. How to declare this over your life, your family, your home, because your words are powerful. The Bible starts, one more thought about words, and I'll give you the points, okay? The Bible starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Bible says, and then God said, let there be light, and what was it? Light. God's words created the world. School teaches you that words are for communication. The Bible teaches you that words are for creation. You hear what I'm saying? That you can create the world you live in with the words you speak. And so what I want you this year is to call those things that are not as though they are. Because when you start getting a hold of that, it's the rudder of your life, the book of James says. It's like the rudder of a ship. The direction it's pointed is where you're headed. Okay? And so loose lips sink ships. Hello, somebody. Okay? Don't sink this year. We're gonna. So point number one, here's the first declaration. You know, I did this today, and maybe it's a new thing I'm going to do, but I'm going to give you all 5 points. That way, no one go home saying, you didn't finish point four. You're like, you know how many outlines I have, Pastor? If you didn't finish point three and point four, why even put them on there? You just, I owe you some points when I get to heaven, okay? I'll give them to you. We'll spend eternity, and I'll go over every sermon I have, and we'll give it to you. Okay, point number one, here's the first prophetic declaration, and I'll come back to one and I'll break it down. Here's this. We're going to declare this in 2024, that this year in 2024, I declare that nothing will hinder the kingdom expansion in my life. This year, nothing will hinder. Say, nothing will hinder. No habit, no sin, no addiction, no pattern, and watch this now, no person will hinder the kingdom expansion in your life this year. Say amen. Okay, number two. I'm going to give you all five, and then I'll come back to one, and I'll break it down. Number two, we're going to declare this year, is we're going to declare that in 2024, my roots will go deeper in Christ unlike any year before. My roots are going to go deeper in Christ like any year before. We're going to have deep roots, deeper roots to produce more fruit, deeper roots to stretch out wider, because you can't grow in God with shallow roots. Okay, we're gonna have deeper roots. Okay, number three, and I'll come back and I'll break each one down, is this: my faith will grow to levels I've never seen before this year. Say, this year, my faith will grow to levels I've never seen before. We're gonna prophetically declare it, all right? Number four, the fourth declaration this year, we're gonna declare that this year, this is a good one, I will be healed of things I was not able to get healed from before, and I will come to full restoration. Come on, somebody. Come on. We're going to declare this year. Prophetic declarations, okay? And then because y'all overachievers, I said, I'm going to throw number five on there for y'all for 2025. One extra. Right here it is. Write this down. Number five is this. This year, I will take back territory the enemy has stolen, and I will step into new territory this year. Come on, five prophetic declarations for 2024, okay? You got all five? Okay, we're good. So I owe you no points. We're good. We're square. Back to point number one. Now let me break it down, okay? We're going to break these down this year because we're going to learn to have prophetic declarations, not pathetic declarations. Say this when I say, this year, nothing will hinder the kingdom expansion in my life. And this is what I want you to declare. I want some of you guys to fill this out, put it in your office, put it in your car, and I'm gonna encourage you to declare it every day at some point in your day, whether it's morning, lunch, nighttime. Get your family, declare it with your spouse, declare it with your kids. In fact, frame this, what I'm giving to you, frame it somewhere and be like, these are our prophetic declarations for us this year, because we're gonna see God move, because your life heads in the direction of your mouth, okay? And so, the promises that God has for us is that nothing will hinder us, but oftentimes what is hindering us are habits, our sin, our patterns, or maybe people. But we need to identify the habits, because you do not become who you want to become. You become the person your habits are making you become. Did you hear what I say? Whatever your habits are making you become, that's who you become. If you want to change your life, change your habits. You have to look at it and say, what habits are producing me to become a person that is hindering God in my life? And these things of habits are all over our lives, and we're creatures of habit, okay? We're creatures of habit. Some of y'all, you're such a creature of habit, you've had the same haircut for 20 years. Come on, somebody, amen. You go to your barber, you're like, you already know, just do it. You know what I mean? Or your hairstylist, ladies, you're like, yes, I was. You already know, go ahead, you know? You're a creature of habit. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's who you are. You take the same route to church every Sunday. Matter of fact, do something. Take a different route to church next week. Some of you are like, that's scary. No, man. No. We're creatures of habit, okay? Now, that ain't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the enemy has been using that against you. He's been getting you to build the wrong habits, when if you build the right habits, they'll serve you to become the man or the woman of God that he wants to bring into your life. Come on, somebody. So you have to develop the right habits. Tell your neighbor, develop the right habits. So if you're watching us online, the right habits. You got to develop the right habits. So you have to look at the right habits. Well, what are the right habits? The right habits are things that are helping you become the person God wants you to be. And you have to look at those, evaluate those literally every year, every month, and as minute as you would like. Because if there are certain habits in your life right now that are not serving you to be the person God called you to be. And those are the first ones, they got to go. If you're taking notes, right, the gift of goodbye. Come on now. You need the gift of goodbye. The gift of goodbye. And you got to let it go. Say, let it go. Because this was 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, here's the scripture about habits. It says, they promise, talking about bad habits, they promise them freedom, or sin even, right? When they themselves are slaves to depravity. For people, it says, are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Whatever habit, whatever sin is mastering you, is keeping you in a stronghold, that becomes what you, that is what you'll become. That is what you'll become. And so we need to identify those. In fact, I'll even go a step deeper. Anything or anyone who strengthens your weaknesses is an enemy to your future. I'll say it one more time. Anything or anyone that strengthens your weakness is an enemy to your future. So you have to look, what habits or what areas, what people strengthen my weakness? That's an enemy to my future. I have to look for areas that strengthen my strengths, not areas that are strengthening my weaknesses. Say, strengthen my strengths. So you have to identify where is strengthening my strengths. That's why you gotta come to church, because it strengthens your strengths. That's why you read your word, it strengthens your strengths. That's why you gotta have a regular devotional life. You gotta strengthen your strengths. And this is something that it's a life hack, if you want to say it that way. Where you gotta be like, well, let me try to get better, you know. And this is talking habitual stuff, not talking about sin stuff, because you don't want to get better at sinning. Some of you are professional sinners. We need you to get bad at that. Come on, somebody. Any professional sinners in the house? Just joking. Don't raise your hand. You're great at that. We need you to unlearn that. So I don't need you to strengthen your weaknesses. We want to strengthen our strengths. And this is, how do you do that? It's by building better habits. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I'm just trying to make it in a bite-sized way that you can actually obtain what God has for you. Someone say, I need new habits. So when you develop these habit patterns, habit in definition is a pattern of behavior acquired by repetition. It's a pattern acquired by repetition. So for example, we've been fasting for 21 days. I pray that you've gotten now into a habit of praying. For those that were in my 6 a.m. crew, on the devotionals, come on, yeah, it was exciting. Or if you rewatched it during the midday or the night, my desire was for you to build a habit where it's like, look how we did this. Now continue it, right? And I don't want you to make you dependent on me. I want you to be dependent on God. So that's why I stopped him for a season. I'll bring it back sometime in the year, but I want you to now develop your habit. And your time with the Lord, where it's like, okay, God, speak to me, and I'll be back. Be like, you left me. I didn't leave you hanging. Okay, I'll be back. All right? It's the idea is, it's a habit. And I pray that even this year, listen, that you fast, like, let God speak to you. You're like, you know what? I'm going to do a fast on my own. Yeah, go for it. It doesn't have to be the church. I don't have to do it. You can do it and throw a fast with your family. And hey, guys, you know, we're going to fast this Friday. Or we're believing God for one of our family members. And watch how God moves, because now you made a habit of it. Come on, give God a clap. Come on, somebody. Say, nothing will hinder me. Nothing will hinder me in Jesus' name. So, how do you break habits? Just write this down somewhere on the side. You can break different habits in your life. You know, maybe you have a habit of gossiping. Just look straight. El chisme. What happened? And you know how church folks are. Tell me, because we'll pray for it. Like, what is it? Church folks, man. Y'all. Professional sinners. I'm just joking. Come on, somebody. We'll pray about it. So you didn't even pray. Chismoso. Come on. Somebody. Anyway, you know, habit of being negative. Okay? These habits come into your life. Overspending. Oh, Lord, we went there. Here we go. Habits of overeating. Mercy of God. Pastor, I was trying to have a good service. Okay. If you've been fasting 21 days, go ahead and have a little fun this afternoon. All right? Okay. Okay. Habit of being late. Habit of procrastination. Oh man, this is real now. I felt this one. I'm all up in someone's kitchen this morning. What would you like? Where was rancheros? Would you like? What you want? Hash browns. Habit of arguing. Some of you are so argumentative. Some of you are habit of just angry. You go from 0 to 10 so fast. You know, habit of being messy. It's not serving you, it's hindering you. You're disorganized. Let this be the year we're gonna get organized. This is gonna be the year. Come on, nothing is gonna hinder the kingdom expansion in my life. Shout amen. Because see, sometimes the Bible says the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. Sometimes it's not the sin, it's just weights. There are things that are not serving you. And other things could be sin too. Like, all right, stop doing that. Stop going to those websites. I got real quiet all of a sudden. Stop going on those websites. And that's just, and statistics say it's not just men. It's 50-50, okay? Pornographic websites, 50-50, women and men. That's not helping your relationship with your spouse. It got real quiet real quick up in here. Turn the AC off. It's about to get hot in here. Come on, sir. Just joking. It's not helping you. Say amen. Amen. Habits of being lazy. I better just stop. Okay, someone say, I'm breaking habits this year. So how do you break it? Number one, identify it. Just how do you break a habit? Identify it. Number two, stop making excuses for it. Don't make excuses for it. Well, you know, the reason why I'm disorganized because I was raised in a home that was disorganized. Stop being the victim. Okay? Just stop. Listen. Stop it. Stop being the victim. Because what you really want, you will go get it. Come on, somebody. And so we're not going to make excuses. Say no excuses. I better move on. Number three. What else? Number three. Once you do that, you got to ask God for help. Just ask God. Say, God, help me, because God will give you the strength. Say, nothing's going to hinder me. Oh, mercy of God. Number two. Move on. I already gave you the 5 points, so I feel more calm right now. So I'm like, I already gave you the points. Yeah, but you haven't fully broken it down. That's a whole other conversation. Okay. Number two. Write this down. My roots will go deeper in Christ unlike any year before. Right? My roots are going to go deeper this year. This year, more than any year before, in Jesus' name. Like this year, we're going to declare that we're going to grow more in Christ than any year before. You're going to know Jesus more this year. You're going to know His plan more this year. You're going to be able to hear a whisper from God because you're so close to His voice and His heart. We're going to grow deep in Christ. Here's the verse for that. Colossians, the Bible says this, chapter 2, verse 7. It reads like this. It says, rooted and built up in Him. Who is Him? Say Christ. Rooted, that's talking about a root system. And I'm built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with what? Thankfulness. God, I'm just so grateful for you. Colossians 7. Being rooted is talking about a root system. And the truth is, the strength of a tree, because the Bible likens us into a tree that we're going to flourish and we're going to produce fruit, and that we're going to, you know, the Bible says that, those that are planted in the courts of our God will flourish. And so here's a picture of what I want to give you here. Being rooted in Christ is this. Boom, put it up there. It's a tree. Here it comes. Bang. So you see that there? See the root system? Most people only see the fruit. But what produces the fruit is what? The roots. And so many people are caught up on the fruit, but they don't understand that it's the roots that produce the fruits. You can take that picture down. This year, right, the way we're going to see kingdom expansion is just not by trying to reach for more, is we got to dig deeper in Christ. We got to say, this year, God, I'm really for real, going to work on my root system. I'm going to work on the depth of who I am. I'm going to work on what I'm going to do. Because when you work on that root system, listen to me now, that root system is what stabilizes all of it. And that becomes the foundation. Say, we foundation. And the foundation is the most important thing. Nobody celebrates it, but it's the most important thing. Like right now, all of us are at church, if you're at Fullerton campus or Irvine campus, or if you're at home watching this, you might be wherever you are, what's holding up this building is the foundation. It's the foundation. And here's the thing. Nobody claps about the foundation. Like, I promise you, nobody walked in the church more going, wow, whew, this is some nice foundation you got here. Whew. I mean, just the way it's laid, like, my God. Okay. Nobody was like, can I take a picture of the foundation? Everybody just walked on it. But it's the most important part. Look at me. No one's going to clap when you're building a foundation. No one's going to say, nice foundation building you did there. But it's the most important part of this building. Everybody's caught up, oh, but life hack. Don't just work on fruit, work on root. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Someone shout, I'm building a foundation. Say it again. I'm building a foundation. Because if the foundation ain't solid, we all need to run out of this room. Everything's going to collapse. Hello, somebody. Okay? It will all collapse. And the foundation, you don't even see it. People aren't going to see your grind in the spirit. You don't see it. It's underground. And that's why when you're working on foundation, say, you don't got, and nobody has to applaud. Nobody has to see when I say no to sin. No one has to see when I say no to that. God, I'm working on a foundation because my foundation is going to hold up what you're going to do in my life. Someone shout amen. Amen. And I always say this to people that have big dreams. I want to do big things. I say, okay, well, what's your foundation? Because anytime you build a large building, if the building is higher, the foundation has to be greater. You can't start on level 50 on the 50th floor. The design is, how big do you want to build this building? I want this to be 50 stories high. Oh, is that how big you want your life? That's right. What's your foundation then? Well, and the truth is, if you build it on shallow. Now, here's the scary thing. You ready for the fear of the Lord to come inside our lives? You can build something big on a small foundation. It's possible. And the devil will let you build it big because he loves to see it fall. And you think, I'm okay. I'm good. Look at. I don't need God. You know, I'm kind of casual with my Christianity. And if you're casual with your Christianity, you'll be a casualty in your Christianity. Oh, my God. We're preaching this morning. Come on, somebody. We're preaching this morning. It's shallow. And when you have a shallow foundation, listen to me now. Watch me. The devil will let you build it big. He loves to see people rise so they can fall greater. In fact, he'll even help you rise. Go bigger. Because he was once a star and he's shot down. Oh, I'm preaching, somebody. And so he'll let you, but you got to build a foundation. The Bible says, it doesn't say if the storm comes, it said when the storm comes. It rains on everybody. He says, and then we find out, did you build on the solid rock or did you build on the sand? And it's going to come. The storm comes. And you know, they always exaggerate. They said big storms come to Southern California. Anyway, praise God. Thank you for all of you not being afraid. Remember the big tropical storm we got? It was crazy. I blew over my lawn chairs. It was crazy. It's like, we will rebuild in Jesus' name. We recover. Sorry. A little bit exaggeration there. I can be sarcastic sometimes. Ask my wife. Say foundation. The thing about a foundation is that when you build it, watch this now, the storm is going to come. And the foundation is proven not in good times. The foundation is proven in the hard times. Why do I need this foundation? Because you will go through something. You will. But when your foundation is strong, it ain't gonna knock down my house. It ain't gonna knock down my faith. It ain't gonna knock down my kids. It ain't gonna knock down my future. It ain't gonna knock down. Someone say prophetically, I will grow deeper in Christ. And the foundation. Okay, the Bible, but the verse we read, remember it said strengthen your stakes? Okay, here's the thing. Some of y'all, these are your stakes right now in Christ. Okay, this is you. Un chiquitito. Yo le bendiga. Small. Okay, everybody needs to start somewhere. I'm not knocking the stake that you have right now. But listen to me with the love of the Lord. If you have big aspirations, you're going to need to change the strength of your stake. Because you're trying to build a marriage, a family, man of God. You're trying to build a life personally and professionally that if you build too big professionally, it will crush you personally. Yeah. And you will succeed because you're talented, but it will crush you personally. And I've seen it way too many times. People that can build a business, but they can't build a marriage. People that can build a business, but they can't build a family. And when it's all said and done, what matters is what we're building. Someone shout amen. Someone say amen. So what we got to do this year is we got to upgrade. Someone shout upgrade. And so we got to be like this. Sorry, you served me well, but the truth is there's some bigger things I need to do. So I need to take this one out. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And you're going to go, this year, you're like,
We about to upgrade this thing because I got bigger things God wants to do. There's greater revival. There's greater miracles, greater prosperity. There's greater things God wants to do for your company, your Christian company, your marriage, your family, your mind. Bigger things God wants to do at Freedom House Church. We're expanding. Come on. Why? Because we're building something for God. Shout amen. I don't know if that's going to fall. I don't want it to fall, nobody. Okay. Hashtag don't sue me, bro. Okay, but all right. Amen. Someone say greater foundation. And that's why you got to come. That's why it's important to get to church, because you're working on your foundation here, okay? And I always say it like this. You will have time for what you want. Well, I don't got time. I'm so busy. Lie. You just call me a liar? If the shoe fits. Amen. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. Okay, Mr. Busy. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Because what you are carrying, you need God. Listen to me. I'm trying to encourage you. You need God. You need God. And you will make time for what you want. Come on now. So let's stop making excuses. I just don't have time. I'm so busy. Lie, you have time. Because a friend will call you, hey, you want to go? Let me do it. I'll be there. And you cancel everything to be there. Oh, man, I'm stepping on these duds. You need to seek God like the way you seek when you lose your keys. Anybody here always lose their keys? Point at some of those who lose their keys. Point at them. Okay, there. It's just always lose their keys. Where's my keys? Where's my llaves? What the keys, right? If you lost your keys and you had to be in an important business meeting, what would you do to your house? You'd be like, get that key. You'd be throwing your bed. Where's these keys? The couch. You'd be telling them, get up. I know you're sitting on them. Get up. I know you're sitting on them. You know? Everybody, this. Because you really want those keys. You're seeking for those keys. God says, seek me and you will find me. Oh, come on. But the thing is, we've been seeking too casually. But when you say, no, God, I'm going to move whatever I got to move because I'm going to seek you this year because I need you, God, this year more than I ever needed you before. I don't care if I got to move stuff around. I got to tell people, get out of the way. I'm building a foundation. Someone say, I'm building a foundation. Second declaration. Number three, I got to wrap this up. My faith will grow to levels I've never seen before. Come on, say it with me. Say, my faith will grow to levels I've never seen before. This year, we're going to grow our faith. We're going to grow our faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it reads like this. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, 3, it says, as God has allocated to each one of us a measure of what? Everybody has a measure of faith. Everyone in this room. Because sometimes you can get discouraged, like, well, I just don't have as much faith as the next person. Don't matter. Everyone has a measure of faith. You have a measure. Someone else has a measure. Don't compare your measure. But everyone has faith. You have faith. And you might be in this room and say, well, nah, you know, Pastor, I'm not really a person of faith. Lie. You just call me a liar 2 times in 1 service? I guess so. Sorry. Liar. Everybody has faith. I was on a plane one time flying to New York. I was to speak at a conference. And when I got on the plane, I just already pre-decided in my mind. I'm like, when I get off this plane, I got to run straight to the meeting, to the session. I said, I'm just going to relax a little bit, long flight, crash out a little bit, just take a nap. And when I get on there, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna crash out, you know? And the guy next to me is like, so where are you going? And I'm like, well, obviously New York, bro. Anyway, so it's a little agitated, I was a little tired. I mean, it's been a busy week. So I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's your final stop? Yeah, my final stop. Okay, cool. So I'm like, all right, dude, I'm trying to rest. You know? He's like, so what are you gonna do in New York? I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, amen. I'm speaking at a conference. Okay, cool, right on. So what type of conference? I'm like, híjole, is this guy. So I said, okay, Lord, he wants it. I said, it's actually a Christian conference, and I'm going to go speak at this Christian conference. I go, cool. He goes, wow. He goes, so you're like a pastor? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He's like, I said, you asked for it, bro. Now we end this thing. It's over. You know what I mean? Now we end this thing now. So he replies with, plane takes off, and he's like, you know, I don't really consider myself a person of faith. And I'm like, not true. I said, yes, you are. He's like, what? I said, not true. I said, how do you know this plane is being held up? He said, because the pilots are flying. I go, but how do you know the pilots can even fly this plane up in the air, 30,000 feet in the air? Well, because the engines are working. How do you know the engines work? How do you know the engines work? Because they're supposed to work. Oh, so you have faith in that. He goes, wow, you're good. Where's this conference you're speaking at? You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. So I invited him and got his number. He unfortunately didn't come, but I believe a seed was laid. Come on, somebody, say amen. Come on. God will even use you when you're tired. Amen. But I would challenge you in this room. You say, well, Pastor Josiah, I'm not really a person of faith. I'd say, lie. Yes, you are. How do you know you're going to even make it home in your car? God said nobody's promised their next day, their next breath. Because you say, when I get older, I'll serve God. That's a great plan if you were promised to get older. Who promised you to get older? The Bible says your life can be demanded to you in 1 second. God, this year I'm going to live with faith. Not just conscientiously, I'm going to live with it experientially. That every day, Lord, I'm a person of faith. I believe in a big God. I believe in a powerful God. I believe in a God who is greater than me. And I need my faith to grow this year, Lord. I don't want baby faith. I want great faith. Come on, somebody, in the God that I serve, in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are called to walk out. It's a faith walk. It's not a faith marathon. I'm sorry. It's not a faith sprint. It's a faith walk. And every day you're walking with the Lord. It's a faith walk. And we don't walk by sight. Amen. Okay, let me go to number 4. I got to move quick here. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, watch this one. Oh, no, let me read James chapter 2, verse 17. Sorry, go back. I got to read this. The Bible says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, it's what? It's dead. What we say is not what we believe. What we do is what we believe. Okay, what we do. It's a great book. If anybody wants to read it, it's called Christian Atheist by Craig Rochelle. It's a great book, a book I read years ago. Christian Atheist. What's a Christian Atheist? You say you believe in God, but you live like one doesn't exist. That's powerful, huh? Preach! I was just doing an altar call right there, huh? Come on. Christian Atheist. And if we're not careful, we slide into that. We say he believes, but we live like he doesn't exist. And God wants you to live like he does exist. Because I'm telling you now, he does exist. Come on, somebody. And if we walk his ways, say this year, I will grow my faith to levels I've never seen before. Number 4, and I'll wrap this up here. Read this with me. Say, this year, I will be healed of things I was not able to be healed from before. And I will come to full restoration. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25 says, so I will restore to you, I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten. I just want to declare, so to someone, you feel like you lost some years, you lost some time, I declare that God's going to restore to you the years that you lost and that the devil stole, and you will be healed in full restoration. He'll restore to you the years you lost, backsliding, the years you think you lost, doing something, God's, I'm going to give them back to you in Jesus' name. And in fact, I want to declare this over you. Everybody just grab your right hand, the Bible, and put it up in the air just like this. The Bible says your right hand is the right hand of strength. If you're left-handed, sorry, I'm just reading the Bible. Right hand. That's what the Bible says. Sorry. And I want to pray this over you, and I declare it over you. According to Joel 2:25, may God restore to you the years that you lost. According to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, may God restore your health this year. According to Psalms 51:12, may God restore the joy of your salvation. According to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, may God restore whatever suffering you went through, that if you suffer with him, you will also reign with him. According to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7, may God restore the blessing that you felt you lost and the devil stole. According to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6, may God restore to you the prosperity in your life. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, may God bring restoration through repentance, because this year will be a year of full restoration in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive it and you believe it, shout amen. Shout amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. Stand to your feet. And the fifth one is, this year I will take back territory. Say, I will take back territory. The enemy has stolen, and I will step into new territory in Jesus' name. We do not wake up trying to defeat the devil. The devil is already a defeated foe. Every morning you wake up, you are waking up to occupy the spaces and the places God has promised you. You're occupying what God has given you. in Jesus' name. Just bow your heads all across this room. Father, I thank you for our church family, because I believe that we're going to learn to make prophetic declarations, that we're not going to let our words, Lord, this year become our own traps, that the rudder of our life, God, will be a rudder that speaks that of faith, that of your word. We're going to make prophetic declarations. God, begin to rework us, Lord, so that we may walk in power and authority, God, that you've called us to, in Jesus' name. I want you all to sing this out. Don't leave just yet. Just lift your hands. Sing this out. Have a moment with God. Go for it. Come on.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor, to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.